That one did a great job. I actually planned on ambushing someone else, but that, you did a great job there. Welcome to 2026. I almost said 2025 then. Welcome to 2025. We're 11 days in, and I wonder how many of you set for yourselves perhaps some New Year's resolutions, maybe some goals, some plans, some things that you intend or you desire, you want to do this year. I wonder how many of us are now 11 days in, we're already looking at that list going, there's a few things here I need to take off that list. Maybe my expectations were a little bit higher, you know, on the late night as it's turning from 2025 to 2026 and I was delirious without sleep. Maybe I made some decisions then that weren't quite what I should have made. You know, over the years, and I'm only young, unlike Alex Sr., who's just a little bit older, well, actually he's a lot older than me, but you know, I wonder over the years how many times we've made New Year's resolutions. We've made resolutions or decisions for the year, and then perhaps through the year, they've fallen away. You know, as I look back, I've heard sermons from people saying, hey, don't set New Year's resolutions. I've talked to people that have said, hey, it's unwise to set resolutions because you only let yourself down. You know, God is a God of order. And God is also a God that has goals for us and desires for us. And it's healthy for us to set goals for ourselves. You know, God desires for us to grow in our walk with Him. God desires for us to mature and to become better followers of Him. God desires for us to change, not to just stay stagnant. You know, getting saved, that was an amazing moment in your life, but it doesn't stop there. From that point, you should grow and mature and become somebody different than who you were at this point. It's not about setting New Year's resolutions. It's about desiring to become who it is that God would have me be. I was looking at, I'm not on social media, but on my LinkedIn profile, I guess that's social media, isn't it, really? It's like a business social media that's really turned into something else. But I was looking at that and somebody said on there, hey, I hope to become the best version of myself this year. What a hopeless, hopeless thing. I don't want to be the best version of me. I want to be the best version of what God wants me to be. As we look at the scripture this morning, we see a couple of goals. We see a couple of men make decisions about something that they want to do for God. And this morning I want to challenge you, even though we're 11 days in and we probably shouldn't be talking about New Year's resolutions at this point into the year, I want to challenge you to think differently as you go through this year. To think deliberately as you step into this year. To be purposeful in what you do with your life this year. Perhaps I could start off by asking you a question. What are you building this year? What have you purposed to do this year? And where does that sit within the context of what God wants you to do this year? Where does that sit within the context of God's purpose, God's plan, God's intention for your life in 2026? Let's think about that passage we just read through there in 2 Chronicles. And let me give you a little bit of context. David had purposed or had proposed to build the temple, but God had said no. I think you probably remember that story. God had said, no, this is going to be your son's role. And David responds not with anger, not with frustration, but instead, despite the fact that his dream, his goal has been changed, instead he says, I'm going to glorify God despite the fact that this looks different for me now. David spent the rest of his days setting the foundations for the purpose that God would set out for his son Solomon. Solomon picks up on that purpose, and that's where we read from this morning in 2 Chronicles. But I want you to jump over to 1 Kings chapter 5 with me, and we get the perspective from Solomon's side here. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put under him under the soles of his feet. So David couldn't build the temple because he was a man of war. Verse 4, But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent, and behold, I purpose to build an house under the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon the throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. This morning, what are you building? What are you building? What are you doing with your life? What are you desiring to move forward in this year? And where does that sit within the context of what God desires you to do? Let's pray and then let's jump into this morning. Again, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Father, you are holy and you are good. And Father, there is nothing within us that deserves to come before you as sons of God. And Father, you purpose for each of us. You have a design and a desire for each of us. And Father, this morning as we study your word, I pray that you would impress on our hearts, that you would give us a passion for what you would desire for us to do. Father, those things that maybe we've set our minds on, those things that maybe we have been striving towards that are outside of your will for our lives, Father, I pray that you would take that desire out of our hearts. And Father, this morning as we look at this couple of passages in Scripture and we see how Solomon and David both react to your desire for their lives, Father, I pray that we'd take encouragement from this. We'd be challenged by this. And Father, we would desire to go forward from here into 2026, living lives that glorify you and living lives that fulfill the purpose that you have for us. Father, you deserve all the glory and all the honor. We love you. In your name, amen. The overarching thought that I want you to take home today, the thing that I want to be impressed on your mind as you leave here is this: we as believers, as Christians, must recognize that God has a purpose for us in this year. And then as God expects, we must commit everything to following that purpose. God has a purpose for you this year. And God expects you to commit everything to following after that purpose. Here's my first challenge for you this morning. We're just going to get straight into it. My first challenge for you this morning, number one, commit to God's purpose for you, even when it's not your dream. Commit to God's purpose for you, even when it's not your dream. Just think about that for a minute. I think we all have dreams, don't we? We all have things that hey, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. Perhaps those are things that are good, right? Perhaps those are things that are beneficial for us. Perhaps those are things that are great for our family. Perhaps those are even things that are good within the context of being a Christian. And they're even perhaps things that are good for our church. But is that dream what God desires for you? And are you willing to let go of that dream to have the better thing? Are you willing to say, hey, God, I'm willing to take my hands off the wheel and just trust you despite the fact that this doesn't look like what I imagined it should look like? Here's the thing, don't just recognize, commit. Often we recognize that God has a plan. Often we recognize that God has a purpose for us. Often we see in moments during the day or things that happen over a period of time in our year that God is doing something and I'm meant to be involved in this. I'm meant to be investing in this and God has a purpose for me in this. I recognize that, but God, it just doesn't quite fit within what my dream was. It doesn't quite fit in that neat little picture that I have for myself. But God, friends, don't just recognize, commit. We look at David. And David had been in battle and he'd been at war for years. And he gets to a point where it's quiet. And he says, hey, God, I want to do something really good. I want to do something for you. I want to build you a house. Because right now you don't have one. Hey, God, this is going to be great. I want to commit everything I've got to building you a house. And David goes to Nathan and says, Nathan, this is what I'm thinking. This is my plan. This is my dream. I want to build this house for God. And Nathan says, hey, that sounds great. Right? How could that be wrong? Nathan says, put your hand to it. But later on that night, God speaks to Nathan and he says, hey, you need to change your advice a little bit there. Because that's not the plan that I have. And I want you to go and talk to David. And I want you to tell David, that's not what I intend for him. David had a dream. He had a purpose. He had intentionality in that, right? And God said, no, I've got something different. I've got something else in mind. I've got another thing for you to do. And in fact, your son is going to fulfill your dream, and you're never going to see that. How does David react to that? How does David face that? How does he address that in his own life? In 1 Chronicles 22, verse 11, we see how he responds by how he talks to his son. 1 Chronicles 22, 11, now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding and give thee charge concerning Israel that thou mayest keep the law of thy God. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now listen to this, verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord. And we get to see a whole list of things there. 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver. Sorry, and 1,000,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereunto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work, of the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. Listen to this. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. David had set aside the spoils of war, the spoils of the battles that he had fought. And I did some calculations this week as I was working through this. There's 3,750 ton of gold there. The value on Friday in Aussie dollars of that gold, anybody want to guess? $824 billion. That's just the gold. We go to the silver. There is 37,500 ton of silver. That's $140 billion. So we're nearly at $1 trillion there. There's unmeasured bronze, unmeasured iron, unmeasured quantities of wood and stone. Let me give you a bit of local perspective on that, right? We live in Brisbane. So what in Brisbane have we built that cost a lot of money? Anybody? Anybody got a building in mind? What's that?
City Hall.
City Hall? Nope, not even close. Right? Go ahead. Your house? Your dad probably tell you that it's probably about $100 billion, but not quite at what Solomon's done, right? All right, here's one. The Children's Hospital. Up until this year, the Children's Hospital was the most expensive thing we had built in Brisbane. That's pretty good, a Children's Hospital, hey? How much did we spend on it? It went over budget at $2.2 billion. Right, this year, we finished another one, Queen's Wharf, $4 billion. It went over budget too. The budget set for the infrastructure for the 2032 Olympics. Now, that's got to be a lot, right? How much do we spend on it? How much are we planning on spending on it? Just over $7 billion. Put that into context of how much David is giving to Solomon, nearly $1 trillion Aussie dollars, to build a house for God. And if we think perspective again, the temple that Solomon built isn't too dissimilar in size to our church. How do you commit $1 trillion to a building this small? David was committed to God's purpose with everything he had, despite the fact that it was no longer his dream. I'm going to do everything I can to set him up. Even though God's taken this away from me, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that Solomon has everything he can to do what God purposes for his life. Dads, how often do we do that for our kids? I'm not talking monetary. Yeah, we should be putting things aside for our kids. That's great. But how often do we feed into our kids' lives so that they can live lives that glorify God? How much are we inputting? This might not be where my life is going, but you know what? I want to give everything I can to my kids to make sure that they live lives that glorify God. In 1 Chronicles 28, David gives Solomon the plans for the temple. He hands them. They were handed down by God to David. In 1 Chronicles 29, David gives all of that publicly to Solomon and says, Solomon, this is for building God's house. David invited other leaders and other nations to contribute as well. And all of that building, David would never see. For a purpose that God had set before him that was different than his dream. Are you okay with the fact that your dream might be God's purpose for someone else? And God's purpose for you might not be your dream. Are you okay with that? Sometimes I think we see someone else doing what we dreamed and we begrudge them. We see someone else excelling. Hey, I have a dream. I want to become this. I want to do this. I want to live this way for God. And we see someone else, someone younger perhaps, and they're growing and they're developing and they're being nurtured and their skill sets all of a sudden overtake our skill sets. Do we jump in and support them or do we begrudge them and go, man alive, how can God use that guy? Right? He's too immature. There's no way that he can do it as well as what God would use me to do it. Right? We should be jumping in alongside and supporting that person, not pulling them down, not tearing them apart, but getting in sync with God's purpose for our lives and for their lives. What's Solomon's response then? Because Solomon's response could very easily have been, hey, that was my dad's dream. My dad's dream was to build the temple. My dad's dream was to build a house for God, but it's not really my dream. And yes, I know that God has said this is going to happen, and I'm going to do it. But of that trillion Aussie dollars, I could spend a bit. I'm the wisest guy ever. Right? By this point, Solomon's had that conversation with God, and he's the wisest man. He's already made some decisions. He's already proved that fact, right? And he could have been at this point and gone, you know what? That trillion dollars, God, I can glorify. I'll build you a house, and it'll be an amazing house. I can do it with a fraction of the budget because I'm the wisest guy ever. But there's all that other money, and God, I can use it in other ways. I can grow our nation. I can strengthen our nation. God, I can do these other things. These are your people. And God, I can do this better than what my dad's dream was. Could very easily have been Solomon's thinking. That's not how he thinks. Have a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 1. And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. In 1 Kings 5:5, and behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son whom I will set upon the throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Solomon recognized God's purpose for him. He determined, he purposed to do what it was that God intended for him to do, despite the fact it might not have been his dream. We get to see Solomon's dream when God says, hey, I'll give you anything. What's your dream? And Solomon says, I want to rule the nation properly. I want to look after this. I want to be the wisest ruler ever. Solomon's dream was different than his dad's dream. Friends, what are you building this year? What are you purposing to do this year with the life that God has given you? How does what you're purposing to do sit within the context of God's plan for you? Perhaps we're making excuses. I've done that. What if it's hard, God? What if it's hard? What if it's too hard for me? Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of with the right hand of my righteousness. Friends, nothing is too hard for God. Despite the fact that his purpose might not be your dream and it might be hard, nothing is too hard for God. What if it hurts? What if it hurts to do God's purpose for my life? God's plans for you are not to harm you, but to give you an expected end. What if it doesn't line up with what I want to do, and what I want to do is really good? Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God's ways are so much better than our ways. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hey, God, this is such a good plan. But you know what? I'm willing to let it go because I know that your plan's better. God, I want my steps to be ordered by you. And I'm willing to let go of this dream, this thing that I'm holding on to so tightly because I know that your ways are better. And I don't understand your ways. But God, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to let go and I'm just going to allow you to order my steps. What if I'm afraid? God, that's scary. God, I can't do that. I've never done anything like this. God, this is nuts. Like, there's other people that are way braver than me that could do this. There's other people that come from that country. They understand the language already, God. I just don't have it in me. God, surely you've given your purpose to the wrong person. God, surely you've mistaken me with Pete. Surely you've mistaken me with Danny. Surely you've mistaken me with Derek. God, those guys are so much wiser, so much braver, so much smarter than me. God, I'm too scared to do this. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is my salvation. God knows what's going to happen. And if he's given that purpose to you, he will equip you to do exactly what he wants you. Friend, have you committed to God's plan even though it might not be your dream? Have you committed to God's plan even though it might not be your dream? Here's the second challenge for you this morning. Commit to God's purpose for you. And here's the thing, commit wholeheartedly. Commit to God's purpose for you, but commit wholeheartedly. Parents, how often do you give your kids a job, a responsibility, something that they are meant to do? And maybe the first one or two times they get in there and they do it and they're like, man, this is fun. Dad, I love doing chores, right? And then day two comes around and it's like, man, Dad, this isn't as fun, but I still love doing chores. And then day three comes around and, Dad, this is not fun. And I'm only going to give half of my attention to this. And when I vacuum the floor, I'm only doing the center of the room, all those edge parts. Nobody walks there, right? So no dust accumulates in the corners. I'm only going to do the dishes that I eat off, right? I know that this is the plan you've got for me, Dad, to do the dishes, to vacuum the floor, to whatever it might be. I feel like I'm picking on Connor right now. I'm not picking on you, Connor. Connor does a good job. He's a good worker, right? They know that's the intention, but their commitment is perhaps a little bit lazy. Yes, I did my chores. Tick, 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 tick. Sometimes we approach God's purpose for our lives like that. God, I know this is your purpose for me. And God, I'm stepping into that, but I'm not giving my whole heart to it. God, I've got other dreams. I've got other things I want to do too. And so God, I'll do this, but I want to do it in conjunction with what I want to do. And God, maybe you and I can get together sometime and maybe we can see fit to blur what your purpose is with what my purpose is and we can come up with a purpose that suits both of us. Does that work, God? God has a purpose for you and it is an individual purpose. And God expects us to give ourselves to it wholeheartedly. And when we do that, God blesses it. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean we're going to understand, but God blesses it when we surrender, when we give wholeheartedly to what it is that He wants us to do. Have a look with me at 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 14. We read the first part of this a little while ago. We see here David's commitment. He says, "Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord." Sometimes it's in our trouble, it's in hardship, it's in moments of understanding and lacking understanding that we prepare our lives, that we live our lives to glorify God. It's in that trouble that David built up all that gold and all that silver and all that stuff. It's in that trouble that David prepared his own heart for what God was going to do with him. It's in that trouble that David prepared the finances for building the house of God for the purpose of Solomon. It's in that trouble that he brought people together that were going to help Solomon to do what God's purpose was for Solomon. It's in that trouble that the country, that Israel, came to a point of peace where Solomon could do the building. If you looked at 2 Samuel chapter 8, you look there and you see battle after battle after battle after battle. Actually, let's go there. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. David smote the Philistines. Verse 2, he smote Moab. Verse 3, he smote also Hadazar. Verse 5, David slew the Syrians. Come all the way down to verse 11, which also King David, so talking about all the stuff that he's gotten here, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued. David, in his time of trouble, built up for the purpose of Solomon. We talked about that a moment ago, how often in our time of trouble are we building up for a brother, for a sister? Or are we languishing in our time of trouble going, man alive, I just want this dream to happen. And we wallow in self-pity because God's not doing with us what we want Him to do with us. And somebody else is being blessed. Instead, in that time of trouble, in that disappointment, what should we do? We should get to work doing what God wants us to do. In your disappointment, do what God wants you to do. Let's keep going. Perhaps your dream has become a little bit like that. Your dream has become a disappointment for you and a benefit for somebody else. Something that you dreamed about is now someone else's purpose. Do you continue to commit wholeheartedly to God's purpose for you, despite the fact that it's not your dream for you? David did. Have a look at Solomon's commitment. 2 Chronicles 2:5, and the house which I build is great. For great is our God above all gods. The house that I build is great. The life that I'm living for God, I want it to be great because my God's great. So I want to live a life that glorifies my God. 2 Chronicles 2:9, and the second half of that, for the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful great. Solomon wholeheartedly commits to God's purpose. God's house is going to be great. Are you committed in the same way to God's purpose for your life? God, what I give you is going to be great. Because you're great. And you deserve it all. God, what you've asked me to do, I want it to be wonderful. I want it to be a blessing to you. I want it to be glorious. I want it to point to you. Are we giving God the leftovers of our lives? God's got a plan for me, and I'm going to step into that, but I'm only going to give him the leftovers. I'm only going to give him the time that I can afford to give him. I think about, I like building, right? So I've got a workshop under my house. I like building furniture and doing all that sort of thing. And often I'll have a project and I plan it out. I'm a planner, so I plan it out and I do all my measurements, my calculations, and I set a budget for that. And I go to Bunnings or I go wherever it is and I buy the materials for that. And I come home and I start to build this piece of furniture. And Connor, my son, he likes to build too. Right? And he'll often be there in the workshop with me. And so as I'm building and I'm cutting and getting off cuts, and I give those off cuts to Connor. Before you know it, there's a whole pile of off cuts in the corner. And I expect Connor to build something amazing out of that. Right? Connor, those little triangular pieces, why haven't you turned that into something beautiful? Right? Doesn't make sense. Right, I've got all of these beautiful pieces of timber and I want him to work with the rubbish. How often do we do that to God? God, make my life something amazing, but I'm only giving you the rubbish of my life. I'm only giving you the leftovers of my life. I'm only giving you the offcuts of my life. The rest of it I want to keep for myself because I want this piece of furniture, this life, to reflect what I want it to reflect. God, I sure hope you can do something really good with those offcuts. How often do we live like that? We give God the seconds. David and Solomon committed even though it didn't match their dreams. David and Solomon committed wholeheartedly to what God had purposed. And here's the last one for you this morning. Commit to God's purpose humbly. Humbly. Look at the context again. In Samuel, 2 Samuel 7, we see that conversation that David has with Nathan. And then we see as that conversation changes from one of, hey, I want to build the temple of God. I'm going to commit everything to it, to Nathan coming back to him and going, hey, that's not God's plan for you. And you come down to verse 18. And Nathan's had that conversation with David. And he's told David, you're not going to build the temple, but I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to bless the people that come out of your family for generation after generation. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. And then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" He didn't get his dream, but he recognized that God had a purpose for him and God was still going to use him. And it didn't look like what he thought it was going to look like. But David humbly comes to God and goes, "The fact that you would use me, God, that's amazing. Who am I that you would use me?" Have a look at Solomon's response. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 6. Who is able to build him a house? He's talking about God. Who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot obtain him? Who am I to build God a house when heaven can't even contain him? Who am I to do that? Who am I then that I should build him a house save only to burn sacrifice before him? God, who are you? Who am I that you would give me a purpose, that you would put this in my life, that God, you would use me this way? God, I'm no one. But I want to do this because it glorifies you. And so, God, I'm willing to do that. Both had the right perspective. Without God, we're nothing. And all we have is of no value unless we allow God to use it the way that He sees best. That includes my dreams. That includes my skills. That includes my money. That includes my kids. Includes my relationships. Solomon was humble enough also to recognize what his dad had done. But then he asks for help. Here's the wisest guy with the most money, and he asks for help. He's humble enough to go to King Hiram and ask for help. David brought about the wealth, the people, the peace, so that Solomon could build. But Solomon needs to go to King Hiram because he doesn't have the skill sets. The Israelites were skilled in agriculture, but they lacked some of the skills to do the woodworking and the things, the fine work that needed to go into the temple. God often uses other people in our lives to fulfill His plan. But I think sometimes we approach that with an air of arrogance. And we go, "Yeah, I've accepted that God's going to use me. And it wasn't my dream, but now I'm on board with God. Must be something good about me. Hey, Andrew, what are you doing with your life, man? Get on board, right? Ken, how old are you now? Come on, man, look at me, right? We have an air of arrogance about it. Like, God's using me, I'm special. Both of these men, God, who am I? Who am I?" That's how we approach God's purpose for our lives. God, who am I that you would use me? God, I'm willing to give everything as long as it glorifies you. God, I'm nothing, but you're everything. Who's God put in your life that you need to lean on? Who's God put in your life that maybe you need to seek counsel from? Who's God put in your life that you need to let lean on you? The work that God is doing in you and through you is never just for you. right? The work that God is doing in you and through you is never for you. If we would live lives like that, God, I desire to glorify you with my life. And I know that what you're doing in me and through me, yes, it grows me and it molds me and it shapes me and it conforms me into the image of your Son. But God, this isn't for me, this is for others. And this is to glorify you. If we would live lives like that, how different would our world be? How different would our church be? How different would our homes be? How different would we be? God has a purpose for each of us. Are we like Solomon and David, committing to fulfilling God's purpose for our lives, despite the fact that maybe it's not our dreams? Are we committing to going after God's purpose with purpose? Are we determined to build unto God? And are we committed wholeheartedly to that? Are you humble in the recognition that the God of all creation would use you? What are you building in 2026? What are you committed to in 2026? And where does that sit within the context of God's plan for your life? Look with me at 2 Chronicles 22:16 in closing. It's what David says to Solomon. He says, "Arise, therefore, and be doing. Get up and do what God intends for you to do. Get up and live a life that glorifies God. Get up and focus on God's purpose for your life. And the Lord be with you." Friends, I don't know where you sit this morning. I don't know what New Year's resolutions you made. I don't know what things you've committed to. I don't know where your focus is this year, but I can tell you right now that if your focus is outside of the will of God, it's only going to heartache. But if your focus is on who you are in Christ and what He desires to do with you, you will never be more joyful. You will never be more satisfied. You will never, ever be more fulfilled than you will be when you are where God wants you to be. What are you building this year? What are you committed to this year? Is it God's purpose for you? Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father. Father, you love us beyond what we will ever understand. And God, the fact that you would use us, that you would use sinful, broken people to bring glory to yourself, that you would give us a purpose. And God, that you would desire to work in us and through us. God, that is mind-boggling. There's no one here that deserves that, God. But God, we know from Scripture that you do desire to work in and through us. And God, you do have a purpose for each of us. And God, that each of us needs to surrender our dreams for your purpose. And God, that's hard for us. God, that's hard. So God, this year, would you give us the strength to step forward in your purpose for our lives? Would you give us the boldness to push all those other things aside that would cloud your purpose for us. God, would you take away the fear that so often robs us of the joy of doing what it is that you would have us to do. God, would you give us wisdom as we step forward? And God, would you be glorified in our lives? Father, we love you. You deserve all the glory and all the honor. In your name.